Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. We've actually got Mark Curtis is on the show today. Mark, I know your mic's open. Can you tell our listeners and our viewers how they can get a hold of you and what organization you're with?
My organization, my law firm, is called Defender of the Blue. Go to defenderoftheblue.com or search Defender of the Blue on Facebook. And you will find us.
I love it. Mark's got some great experience, guys. You're gonna love his input on the topics that we're gonna be covering. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. And I'm starting to lose count now, Mark. We're on our eighth or ninth week right now in satellite radio, thanks to Compliant Technologies. A shout out to Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1.5 million people right now. Also, Two Bells, they built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You have cool gear, like the shirt that I'm wearing, guys. If you go to LeoRoundtable.com, and go to our online store that was just built out by Two Bells. We got some great gear. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thank you for carrying our content. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, here's what we're going to be talking about, guys. We got some good, fun topics today. Audio released of a moment. Well, this is not the fun part. I'm starting off with a bad one. You know, our firefighter brothers, you know, the hose draggers, you know, we love them. And, you know, audio released of a moment, Idaho firefighters got ambushed while responding to a blaze in an emergency situation. Cops got called in, the cavalry did. We don't have all the information about how it went down, but we're going to cover that one first. We've also got Tom Homan, our border czar. We love him. Confirms that AOC is under federal investigation for employing who? For employing illegal immigrant and aiding evasion of ICE. Ah, dadgum, it's about time. Donald Trump heads to Alligator Alcatraz as ICE facility set to begin operations. Wow, and I got a story involving that one. Then we got Manchester Sergeant justified in Andrew Smith fatal shooting after his gun fires off during a struggle. And then we got a driver dies after Anaheim police unleash a hail of gunfire at the suspect at the end of a chase, and it was a hail of it. Former Antioch officer was sentenced to 7 years in prison over a canine deployment in line. Harris County deputies fatally shoot a suspect who's armed with a large butcher knife. I hate knives. Florida deputy accused of armed sexual battery after responding to a theft call. That's not good. Then we got San Diego officers fatally shooting a guy who's armed with brass knuckle knife after a chase in a car crash. And then finally, Polk County, which is where we have Sheriff Grady Judd. They have a deputy resigning after an arrest and stealing cash during a Fort Meade traffic stop. And he was turned in by two other deputies. So good for them. All right, guys. So at FoxNews.com, audio released of the moment Idaho firefighters are ambushed. Sometimes you have these stories and you just can't believe this stuff goes down. But they get ambushed responding to a blaze. Apparently, it looks like it was set on purpose and it's an emergency situation. So now I may butcher some of the names. I haven't been able to get the pronunciation, but Kootenai County Fire Rescue firefighters, they're killed. Well, two of them were killed and another was wounded in a sniper ambush on Sunday afternoon. Authorities later located the body of a deceased man with a firearm nearby. That's our sniper. We just don't know how he was killed. And I can't find it anywhere yet. And they lifted a shelter in place order because they knew that the shooter was dead. Now, the Kootenai Sheriff's Office said that fire crews responded to a blaze at Canfield Mountain around 1:30 in the p.m. on Sunday. Then gunshots were reported about half an hour later. Now, there was an audio from the scene. A firefighter said there was an emergency situation, that there was an active shooter at the fire. And he said, hey, we need law enforcement up here immediately. And he says, two battalion chiefs are down. We have another, and it's a Coeur d'Alene firefighter down. We've got two unresponsive battalion chiefs down, multiple gunshot wounds, and two Coeur d'Alene are down and pinned down. And the caller also said the fire was set intentionally to draw us in, is what he said. And he said, it's clear to me this fire was set intentionally to draw us in. So the sheriff, Robert Norris, said in a news conference later Sunday afternoon that two firefighters were killed. Another was fighting for his life, but he was in stable condition after surgery. And authorities have said they tracked down the body of the suspected sniper using cell phone info. And Idaho Governor Brad Little said that multiple firefighters were attacked in the incident. And we finally, later on, it says the sheriff had said that there was a recommendation was made about 6:30 p.m. to neutralize the shooter, and that law enforcement was able to track a cell phone signal to the suspect's location. So it looks like they GPSed or triangulated his location after they got authorization to neutralize him. But next thing we know, they find him dead. So there's nothing saying that he was neutralized by law enforcement, self-inflicted gun, you know, gunshot wound, or maybe the winds, Mark, were blowing in the wrong direction and blew back towards the, you know, the arsonist. I don't know.
Yeah. It just demonstrates how bad it's getting out there, even just to be a firefighter. I mean, you can't, it used to be as you went to a call service and you didn't have to worry about anything except what was right in front of you. And now they have to start watching what's happening behind them. I mean, we always joke is that firefighters always have to stage and wait for law enforcement to secure a scene before they show up. But now they can't even go fight a fire without having to worry about what's happening around them, and having this deliberately set at that. That's scary. It demonstrates, I imagine this guy probably had some mental health issues or something of that nature, but it's just demonstrating the way the country's going is that it's not safe to even respond to a fire anymore.
Yeah. I mean, what a coward. I mean, look, being, you know, these ambush attacks are cowardly anyhow, but picking on firefighters who are armed with hoses and water. I mean, really, I'm glad the cavalry came in. I'm glad the cops came in, and look, we love, look, there's some, you know, childhood banter and rivalry between us and firefighters. We love each other, and we're all, you know, public safety, you know, professionals. And I say professionals, and yeah, when the need arose, law enforcement jumped through the hoops. I would love to hear that a law enforcement dude took out this sniper and ended his life that way. But we'll find out, you know, eventually what happened.
Yeah, I'm hoping they release the details of exactly what happened in this case. Because like you said, it sounds as if law enforcement was involved in ending it and tracking him down, but they aren't being very clear as to the circumstances of how it went down.
But I mean, I can see it now. This firefighter that's calling in for help and backup, you know, he's pinned down. They got two battalion chiefs down. You got a third firefighter down, and looks like he, hopefully, God willing, is going to survive and be okay. But just a horrible situation. The only good thing that happened is that the arsonist appears to have been to be dead. And I hope that the story gets better. I hope that law enforcement took him out. But any more commentary, Mark? You ready to move on to the next one? You ready to move on to AOC?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to hear. So RVM News, which stands for RedVoiceMediaNews.com, Tom Homan, our border czar, who we all love, any heterosexual alpha male is going to love Tom Homan. He confirms that AOC under federal investigation for employing an illegal immigrant and aiding the evasion of ICE. And she's been telling the immigrants, the illegals, you know, how to avoid ICE. So, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, is under federal investigation for allegedly employing an illegal alien on her congressional staff and for hosting events that reportedly assisted illegal immigrants in evading federal immigration enforcement, according to border czar Tom Homan. And this is reported in the Gateway Pundit. Now, we're all familiar with AOC going out of her way and telling illegals how to avoid ICE. And that alone, I have been wondering since day one how she's not been arrested for that. But this is a new development for her hiring an illegal, and listen, the story gets better. It's been looked at, Homan said, when asked about Ocasio-Cortez allegedly employing an illegal alien. He says, I can't comment past that, but I'm aware of it. We've asked ICE to drill in on that case. And the individual in question is apparently or allegedly Diego de la Vega, previously served as a deputy communications director in Ocasio-Cortez's congressional office. Wow. What an assignment. And was involved in her 2021 campaign. Now, according to the Gateway Pundit, de la Vega self-deported to Colombia, which unfortunately is where my wife is from. So it's a little slam on the Colombians, you know, self-deports to Colombia in December 24, right after Trump wins the presidential election of all things, because apparently knew what was coming down the pike. In addition to the employment issue, Homan stated that Ocasio-Cortez may have crossed legal lines by organizing webinars intended to teach illegal aliens how to avoid detection or arrest by immigration and customs enforcement agents. And he said she's really educating them on how to avoid prosecution, because there are statutes on the books. When you knowingly hinder your removal, that's a crime. And we've instructed ICE to start prosecuting these cases. Oh, I cannot tell you how excited I am over finally hearing that and that they're moving in the right direction. Your feelings, Mark?
Well, it just tells you how much the prior administration wasn't actually paying any attention to what was going on. Because this guy's in a congressional office, an illegal immigrant, and who's working for her. And he has access to the capital from my understanding, from what I was saying, access to information that any normal person that was getting a security clearance and went through the proper channels wouldn't be getting. So what did he have access to? What didn't he? And now the second he finds out that Trump's taking over in the new administration, he's out of here. He's gone because he realizes it's not going to happen. They're actually going to have to pull the trigger on him and ask and dig into his background. And she's just like, oh, well, no problem. You know, she has absolutely no regard for law enforcement and or the rule of law. It's whatever she wants to do and whatever she thinks is right. And she's finding out, and hopefully she's going to find out, because as we know, Tom Holman isn't somebody who just sits back and waits. He's going to dig and send them in and find out what she did. And she might be on the wrong end of an indictment here pretty soon.
Hey, you know what would make this story even sweeter? And I'm talking about, in addition to an indictment on AOC, would be, you know, we've got a pretty decent extradition relationship, or, you know, with Colombia, and they have this guy extradited back to the United States for prosecution. How sweet would that be?
That would be awesome. That'd be great to bring back and then put him in, and he'll probably end up having to testify against her, which would make it even better.
Ding, 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 bingo. You got it. Yeah, you got it. So, yeah. So, yeah, this story has potential to get a lot better for everybody listening. So, so are you ready to go to Alcatraz?
Oh, yes.
All right. I tell you, there's one good story after another one. Look, I better wait. We've got around 30 seconds here before we take our first commercial break. I just whet the appetite by giving the lead on this. And I have a story associated with this. Donald Trump heads to Alligator Alcatraz in Florida as ICE facilities set to begin operations. I know you guys are thinking, wow, it's going to take them 30 to 60 days to build, which is what I said the other day. Well, guess what? It's built, guys. Stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources, especially when we're considering going online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code. Now, I know that you could, and I'm just reading here, Radio 15 was supposed to be good until June the 30th, and today is actually one day past that. So you may still want to try the Radio 15 and see if it works. If not, they have sales and specials going on all the time. And we have Gauls gift cards that we give away on the show. And we're giving away one today. Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. Chip the Block here is your host. We're joined by Mark Curtis, attorney, and represents cops all over the place. And he's got a lot of great experience as well. So thanks for being on the show, Mark. And now we left off, and I kind of whet the appetite on our next topic. And this next one is from RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com. Donald Trump heads to Alligator Alcatraz as ICE facilities set to begin operations. Now, we just talked about this, I think, within the last week. And I said, and I was, you know, the news source said, it's only going to take 30 to 60 days to build. So I'm thinking, okay, we're at least a couple months out. And I thought it'll probably be a little longer than that, you know, storms, weather, it's raining every day in Florida and stuff. This is down in Alligator, you know, in Alligator Alley and stuff. But lo and behold, it looks like it's pretty much up and ready to run. So President Donald Trump is scheduled to visit a new U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention facility located deep in the Florida Everglades on Tuesday, today. So the visit coincides with the facility's first day of operations and the scheduled arrival of detainees. So today, Trump's going. It's their first day of operation, so they're opening up the doors today, and they have the first arrival on that airstrip, I'm sure, of detainees that are going to get there. The facility, known informally among officials as Alligator Alcatraz, was rapidly constructed, and I will say, I will agree, rapidly constructed on a remote, largely unused airfield in western Miami-Dade County. Now, it's about 50 miles west of Miami, if you know where Miami is, which is a four-hour drive from where I'm at in Tampa, and it was authorized through executive action by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. But DeSantis isn't the one that came up with the idea. It was our attorney general here in Florida. And according to the senior administration official, the trip will allow President Trump to view the facility firsthand as part of his ongoing efforts to strengthen immigration enforcement. It was originally proposed by, ding, 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 Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer, and received state approval within days. So they fast-tracked this thing. Our attorney general noted that the remote location and surrounding environment provided a natural deterrent against escape. And he's talking about alligators and pythons, right, in the dense swamps. He goes, here's a quote, the tent facility, and it's more than just tents, but the tent, and this is why it's so cheap, it's saving taxpayers money. The tent facility would not require much of a barrier surrounding the site because if immigrants were to escape, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. You know, so Governor DeSantis toured the site last week during a media walkthrough. He emphasized that the natural challenges posed by the terrain, he said, this is Ron DeSantis, our governor, if a criminal alien, and notice he doesn't just say alien, illegal, immigrant, you know, undocumented. He says a criminal alien is how he describes them, were to escape from here somehow, and I don't think that they will, you've got nowhere to go. And he goes, what are you going to do? Trudge through the swamp and dodge alligators on the way back to 50, 60 miles just to get the civilization? Not going to happen. That's Ron DeSantis. The facility will be operated by ICE, and it's not even going to be operated by state corrections. It's going to be operated by ICE, the feds, and it's equipped to serve as a transportation hub for the federal government to fly in detainees from across the country and in some cases to deport them directly to their final destination, right, to the other country. The airport runway is still functional. It's been repurposed to support this effort, and they have actual physical structures as well. I've seen those that are modeled after temporary detention facilities that they have previously installed for border patrol and other areas. So they've got this thing down. It says the Florida site includes several large tents, designated areas for families, adult men, and adult women. So they have it separated. Additional infrastructure includes the laundry services. They have restrooms and shower facilities and a dining area. I've got a story, but Mark, go ahead and go first, and then I'll tell you my story.
The other part I like is I've heard it's the Python prison, not just alligator Alcatraz, because there's more pythons than there are alligators out there. And another person said an alligator can swim at 37 miles an hour, and I don't think anybody can outrun that through the swamp. But I saw the interview with DeSantis, and he pointed out is that the reason this is a great facility isn't just because it's isolated, but because that airstrip can handle any type of plane coming in and out. It's going to be, they can bring anybody from across the country, land, drop them off, process them, give them their due process, put them back on a plane and send them right back out. It's efficient. DeSantis, I'll tell you, he knows how to build infrastructure. I mean, that guy can put a bridge together in 3 days and open a prison in less than a week. So
you remember that bridge down in like Sanibel area. So I'm walking my dog this morning and I come up on my neighbor, not going to give you his name, but he's on the liberal side, kind of a simple guy. And, hey, how you doing? He goes, I'm okay. I said, well, what's wrong? Cause last time we had a discussion, he definitely had a different school of thought, but it's from the news sources that he used. And he goes, not that happy. I said, what's wrong? He goes, alligator Alcatraz. And I'm like, oh gosh. And I said, dude, I said, you so have to stop watching liberal news media and you have to watch like Fox News, Newsmax. At least even with those, they show you what the other side's saying. You actually watch news clippings from the other side. So I had to explain to him that alligator Alcatraz was what it was for, but he made a comment. He said, they're deporting people and put them down there. And I said, it sounds like you have more of an issue with deporting illegal aliens than you do with alligator Alcatraz. And so I had to explain to him that if you come into the country illegally, you've already broken the law, and that they're actually focusing on getting people that are not just illegally, they've already broken the law, but they've actually done other crimes as well, is who they're really focusing on. But I told him I have no issue with that, no problem with that. And then I told him, I pay $2,400 a month in healthcare for my wife and I with no kids. And that's city insurance. If I leave and go elsewhere, they'll never let me come back. If there's a city employee that left and he's got 20 kids, it doesn't matter. It's the same price, $2,400. But if I was illegal, these illegals are getting free healthcare. They're getting free room and board, getting stipends and credit cards, and they're getting cell phones. And I said, it's just ridiculous. And so he said, I didn't know that. And I said, you're watching the wrong news source. I said, yeah. I said, my wife's family came in from Colombia and migrated. And this guy I'm talking to, him and his wife came from outside the country too, legally. And I said, that should be a rub in your face. And the more I talked, the more, when we left, his step, when he was like kicking his step up and he was like, he was all happy and stuff and he was on board with the program, he just needed to get the right information. So it just, it really was an eye-opening experience for me, because the media has such control over people that watch just single news sources. They're just so reliant, if they're so gullible and they believe everything they hear,
it's absolutely ridiculous. That just, they don't want to be educated, they just want to regurgitate.
I'm with you. Well, guys, it's time for a second commercial break. Stick with us, we'll be right back. All right, guys, let's talk about MyTech. And you know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. And it's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is the division of compliant technologies, they come in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the instant and outs warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on July the 9th, it's Bulletproof DUI Reports. You want to sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. Chip the Block here, your host, joined by Mark Curtis. And we've been talking about alligator Alcatraz. And I just told a story about my walk around the block this morning. And, I'm walking my blind dog, Mark, you know, he's a sweet dog, but, so it gives me the opportunity to meet a lot of people, but yeah, talking to my, my neighbor who arguably is also blind, because he was against the alligator Alcatraz until I armed him with some spot on information. So any more commentary on this?
I think it's a good process. It's going to centralize and make it easier for them to process instead of having to use the local jurisdictions in order to try to detain. Up here in Michigan, there's one place, one jail that they're using. They've now opened an old prison facility that's a private contractor to put them up there. But I think it's easier for them if they can fly them in and fly them out of the same place, then it makes it a lot easier. And I applaud them for doing that.
Yeah, and cheap for the taxpayers, natural, you know, perimeter. I absolutely love it. And it's a temporary facility. It's a holding facility. So we got that's an important. These people are not going to be spending years there. I mean, typically it's not designed for that. And I've heard that it originally was supposed to be 1,000-bed space. Now I'd heard the other day. My neighbor told me 5,000. But of course, I don't trust the information he's given. But I thought that I had heard yesterday that they may be even wanting to increase up to 10,000. I don't know if that's true or not. I think, I don't know. The airstrip may allow them to accommodate that, with incoming and outgoing. But I think it's a brilliant idea. I think that nothing but good stuff's going to come out of it. So, well, you ready to move on?
Yeah, let's go.
You know, well, we've got a couple of stories with video components, so let's go in and tackle those. And we've got about a little less than 9 minutes. And our first one, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Manchester sergeant is justified in Andrew Smith fatal shooting after his gun fires off during a struggle.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
What?
I'm going to talk to you for a minute.
Okay.
Yes.
For what?
Can you just show me your other hand, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any weapons on you or anything?
Sure.
You do?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, keep your hand up where I can see it, please. Now, okay, turn around. Give me your hands. Z7 shots fired. AMR at Beecham Beach. Sorry, Bridger Beach. Yeah, just stay back, sir. Show your hands. Show your hands. Turn around. Where's that gun?
So listen to how this thing goes down. So the shooting happened after a Manchester police sergeant. So we got a sergeant here, Daniel Wellen. He drives past a dude named Andrew Smith. And this is going to be our bad guy. And so the sergeant, Wellen, he's in his cruiser. and Smith, our bad guy, gestures with his hand as if he's shooting the officer with a gun, right? Okay, you know the story. You know this is. So, and now look, I'm going to call the guy a bad guy. You'll find out with what he's really is a bad guy. But it started off with just that simple gesture. Now, according to report, the sergeant circles the block, comes back. Now, Smith is on foot. And he approaches Smith and he says he wants to talk to him and eventually stops him. And Sergeant Welland said that he's being detained, so he can't walk away. And so the sergeant asked Smith to take his hand out of his pocket because he has his right hand in his pocket, which he did. And then Smith puts his hand back in it. I think it was a jacket pocket. But then he puts his hand back in the pocket. And Sergeant Welland suspected that he had a weapon in his pocket. And I think that just before he did that a second time, the sergeant asked him, do you have any weapons on you? And the guy said, yeah. And then he puts his hand back in his pocket. So the sergeant jumps forward. I mean, at that point in time, you know, you got to make a split second decision. If you're at close quarters, you know, you may just want to jump on the guy like the sergeant did. And if you have maybe some distance or you may want to separate, but if you're going to separate, you're doing nothing to restrict the guy from pulling out a gun and shooting you. You know, so I'm okay with what the sergeant did. He gets the guy in a bear hug thinking that he had a weapon. And now they're in a fight. And the bad guy ends up firing around and it goes, the gun was still in his pocket and then it ends up jamming. And I'm sure it was jammed because he was firing a semi-automatic in his pocket. And that's why it jammed. So the sergeant ends up separating at that point, fires about 4 shots at near point blank range. It goes on to say that investigators later learned that the bad guy's gun had jammed. The whole incident happened in a matter of seconds. And it said, but then after telling the officer that he was armed, he placed his hand into his vest pocket. And it was a vest, I guess, that he was carrying. And within about 5 seconds, all this stuff goes down. And this is according to the Alex Kellerman. He's an attorney with the Criminal Justice Bureau. And, you know, that's the way it went down. And just looking at my show notes and stuff, you know, I'm assuming, I don't know if this for sure, but I don't think the gun ever left the bad guy's pocket. I think that he pulled the trigger while it was in his pocket. And I think that interfered with the cycling of the gun. And I think that's why it jammed, which is a good thing. If the cop would not have charged the guy and got him in a bear hug, I think arguably the gun would not have jammed and we could have had a dead cop because, you know, the only thing that saved him was by cycling that gun in that pocket. And it didn't have the full range of motion that slide needed in order to eject around and put the new one in. That's just my hunch, but Mark, what do you think?
No, I think that sergeant made a great tactical decision. I mean, he realized when the guy put his hand back in his pocket that there was probably something in there, a gun or something. And instead of backing off, like you said, and it having to get into a gunfight, he decided to restrict his hand and to pin his hand down. I mean, that's one of the things that officers tell you is worry about the hands. And the easiest thing to do is to jump on him, grab him, keep his hand where it was, and try to get him secured. The only issue I saw with it a little bit tactfully was then he's in a fight and hasn't an ability to get to his radio because he can't let go of this guy. He's got him to the point. But once that gun went off, you're absolutely right. I think it was lucky that it was still in his pocket when it went off because it didn't give a chance. It jammed. But the officer reacted appropriately. As soon as it went off, he backed off and engaged because that was definitely a gunshot that, you know, and now my life's in danger. And now as an officer, I'm going to do what I have to do to go home.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. So, one for the good guys. And a sergeant, you know, not a street level officer, a sergeant, you know, to boot, you know, you gotta love that.
Yeah, he well-trained. I mean, and he maintained his composure even afterwards. He still, you know, went back up, tried to secure the weapon, but couldn't find it. That's how far it was buried in this guy's pocket that even when you're watching the responding officers, they're still having a problem trying to get it out. But this guy was quickly able to access it because he knew right where it was. When everybody else is trying to find it, that's taking them a little bit to pull it out. So it just again shows what a danger he was.
Yeah, no screaming like a little girl. Call calm, cool, collected. Yeah, I love it. And yeah, so and I'm sure the troops that work for him are like, yeah, that's my sergeant, you know. So you gotta love that. So all right. If you're ready to move on, I think we got time for one more and another video component. So we're still at rumble.com. This is Butters, the name of the channel. And for people that, if we're covering a story that you want to see the video, just go to our Rumble channel the very next day. We'll have a special version of this live show that comes out at 9 o'clock Eastern time on a Rumble channel Tuesday through Saturday. And we have all the videos that we talk about embedded into that version of the show. So this one, driver dies at Anaheim police. Well, after Anaheim police unleash a hail of gunfire at the suspect at the end of a car chase.
123-10-4. driving the wrong way.
Wrong way.
State College from the 91 freeway.
Southbound State College from the 91. Right side of the road, Southbound State College to Romnia.
Police car tried to pit, but that didn't work. For Southbound State College, we're all meeting a little bit of traffic. Stopped at a red light at Lincoln.
Southbound State College approaching Lincoln.
26 Lincoln, what can we call? Me?
Someone requesting
a unit to plug me. They tried to push him into the side of the street. That didn't work. We're southbound, stop memory from City Drive. 35 miles per hour light traffic.
Eastbound memory from City Drive.
There's a pit on the memory drive over the riverbed. The car isn't quite immobilized yet.
Pit on the vehicle in the area of City Drive.
They have the back end of the pickup truck stopped, so they're a 960 x-ray kind of, but the guy's on the gas trying to get away.
Attempting a 960 x-ray.
And a car to go to memory in Bristol, east of here, and stop traffic there. This situation is still active. It looks like there's a shooting involved, so can you start the fire department?
10-4, we'll advise station 31 and get medics.
8. You can just have a fire department stage away. He's not cussing yet.
Affirm, we'll have him stage away.
Wow, a hail of gunfire might be an understatement. Anaheim, California, and look, this is California where they've gone to that, you know, necessary standard as opposed to reasonable. So I'm kind of surprised, you know, but dramatic body cam video released on Friday shows the moment Anaheim police unleash a hail of gunfire and kill the driver at the end of a chaotic car chase. It takes this guy forever to die, though. The pursuit starts after report of shots fired at the Kona Motel in Anaheim on April the 16th. And now we have video from the body-worn cameras of responding officers showing a man pleading for help outside the motel. He had been shot, lifts up a shirt, shows he's shot in the stomach and stuff. Police quickly spot the gunman. He's in a pickup truck. He's fleeing the motel, so they initiate the pursuit. Now, I like the video from the night vision aerial video from the helicopter, personally, as opposed to the body cams. And so the helicopter, the law enforcement helicopter, shows the police, they slam into the trunk. They're trying to stop it, and they push it onto the sidewalk. It gets away. They finally end up doing a pit maneuver, and they kind of, you know, disable the truck, and now it's stopped. Officers end up opening fire. This is, I don't like the way they wrote this, and you'll pick up on this, Mark, and you probably already know what I'm going to say. Officers, this is what it says. Officers open fire when the driver, believed to be armed, refused to exit the truck. Okay. That's hardly justification, right, for a lethal force, but I'm sure there were other components. They knew he was armed, but I'm sure something else happened. But body cam video shows officers firing a barrage of bullets, killing the suspect. Oh my gosh. The OK Corral. I mean, you can see clearly on the air footage, aerial footage, that when the bullets, and I mean, everybody, of course, one cop fires, they all fire, right? And despite the hail of gunfire, there was a passenger, I learned, that was in the truck that got out not injured. How in the freaking world did that happen? I remember watching the aerial footage and bullet holes just popping out. It looked like I thought it was the roof. It was the windshield. And then the helicopter, the aerial footage flies around and you can see the guy. This has been going on for like a minute or two, and the dude's still alive with the driver's window down, and he's still got the gun, and he still looks like he's lucid and stuff. I'm like, how in the world is this dude still alive? You know, so they end up getting him out, CPR. At that point, your bad guy's full of so many bullet holes. When you're doing CPR on these guys, you're just advancing the bleed out. I mean, you're doing compressions, blood. Anyhow, it gets nasty and ugly, and it's just going to happen. Nothing you can do. The driver was identified by police as Danny Lee Kaleo, 51 years old, of La Habra, and police say the gun was found inside the pickup truck. We got a little less than a minute, but Mark, the floor is yours.
I want to give credit, and the guy who worked the camera from the helicopter should get an award. for leaving in night vision the entire time. It was to the point where I, you know, you could see the sparks and the wheel turning, and then I actually watching those bullets go through the windshield. I, like you said, I don't know how that guy's still alive. That was great camera work all around.
Yeah. No doubt. This was a fun one to watch. I love the aerial footage it just provided. I mean, with all the body cam footage we had, and it was a lot, nothing showed it, in my opinion, as well as that aerial footage. That was really it was well done. I totally agree. Another great show, Mark Curtis, and thank you so much for being on the show. And I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. But, you know, I just noticed that we're going to a GunLearn.com commercial, so I'm a little bit off. So let me go to GunLearn. Law enforcement personnel, they encounter guns every day. And it's what we don't know about them that causes injuries, civil lawsuits, injuries, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified firearm specialist like Captain Brett Bartlett and our very own attorney, Ken Affianco. The course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge. And since 2011, GunLearn has been a trusted source by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dana Kelly, has worked it out where if you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Talking about a use of force, there was a aerial footage from a police helicopter. A bad guy decided to run from the cops after he shot somebody. And it was a pretty spectacular shoot. He's in a pickup truck, and he did die. But it was almost like, it was almost like, I don't know if he had body armor or anything. I mean, there were definitely some rounds coming in, and I mean, the body armor wouldn't really protect him much above the dashboard or, you know, where the windows are. But I just am trying to figure out how in the world the guy lived for so long and seemed to be a threat with all the bullets flying. But any more commentary on this, Mark, or?
What's funny is you watch that video with all the bullets, and one of the things we always talk about with these officer-involved shootings that we handle is that the amount of rounds that go down is these guys go to the range all the time, but then you can tell when the excitement and when the adrenaline and everything comes into play that they don't practice out on the range, because all of a sudden now you got 15 rounds downrange and maybe two hit the target, but yeah, the windshield's destroyed, the car's destroyed, you know, everything else. But it's interesting to see the human factor come into play at that point.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Mark, take the opportunity real quick to tell our listeners and users and viewers a little bit more about what you do and how they can get a hold of you again.
We're at defenderoftheblue.com. We're in Michigan. Our team represents law enforcement officers across the state. And actually, we're branching into Wisconsin. We actually are licensed now in Wisconsin to represent law enforcement officers. If there is an officer-involved shooting or an internal investigation or you're under criminal investigation, you call us, because hiring a normal attorney, you know, you go and say, well, I'm going to go hire the guy that I see in court all the time. The problem is he doesn't understand what it's like to represent law enforcement. He doesn't understand Graham versus Connor. He doesn't understand police policies and procedures. We do. That's what we specialize in. So we go out, and like I said, I have a trial this week, and we represented another Warren officer in Warren, Michigan, who was involved in a pursuit that hit a car. Is charged with involuntary manslaughter right now. But we understand how police officers work, how they think. We've walked it, we talk it, and we back it up. So that's what we do. We do criminal defense and respond to critical incidences when officers are involved in shootings.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And yeah, you're doing God's work. So good for you. And expanding. That's pretty impressive. So good deal. You know, I've got a story here, KTVU.com. Former Antioch officer sentenced to 7 years in prison over K-9 deployment and lying. We cover all the news, right? So it'd be easy just to cover news that's favorable to cops, but we want to do the right thing, and we're going to cover the news that doesn't necessarily put cops in the best light as well. What I can tell you is that I always say this: I believe the system by far, the system we have in place works. We have bad cops that get identified, they get prosecuted when necessary, they lose their jobs, they're getting fired, And the system we have in place, it works. There is a human component to police work, which means that we are imperfect. And doesn't matter whether we're doctors, whether we're attorneys, whether we're firefighters, there's a human component. There are going to be some bad apples. And as we've had DEI standard, lowering standards and stuff, that's even become more of an issue. So I cover that to be fair, but please understand that we're covering this and a bad cop was identified and has been prosecuted. And that is a good thing. So that said, former Antioch officer sentenced to 7 years in prison over canine deployment and lies. So in talking about this, Antioch, California, federal judge sentenced former Antioch police officer Mateza Amiri on Tuesday to 7 years in prison for sicking his canine on a man that's riding a bicycle without his lights on, falsifying records, and engaging in fraud to get a raise from the police department for a university degree that he paid someone else to get. So this guy's a real winner. And no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop, right? So the sentence was handed down by Senior U.S. District Judge Jeffrey S. White, and he also ordered our cop to spend 3 years on supervised release after he gets out of prison, so after the 7 years, and he's going to have to pay over $3,000 to the dog bite victim and over $10,000 to the city of Antioch in restitution. It says it followed a four-day trial in August of 2024. A jury found Amiri, 34 years old, guilty of one count of wire fraud, that's some serious stuff, and one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, ouch, in connection with the fraudulently obtained degree scheme. Wow, they really got him on that one. And then following a second eight-day trial, in March, a jury found him guilty of one count of deprivation of rights under color of law and falsification of records in connection with July 2019 arrest. At that point, he was remanded to the custody of the U.S. Marshals and has remained in federal custody ever since. So how'd you like to be the guy representing this dude?
You do the best you can, basically. But what I always tell every officer when it comes to it, we're all human, and as a police officer, you're expected to be 37 different people all at once, a social worker, law enforcement, know the statutes and do everything, but make split second decisions as if you were a Supreme Court clerk, with the legal prowess of it all. The one thing that I tell everybody, every client I have the whole way through, we all screw up. Don't lie about it, because the second you lie about it, there's nothing we can do for you. Everybody makes mistakes. We can work through mistakes, but when you try to cover it up and you try to lie, that's where you're going to find yourself sitting in a jail cell, because now you have perpetuated that entire bad cop. I'm going to lie and bring, shame amongst the profession. But to even go to the point where you lie about your education and try to get a promotion, this guy just, he started the ball rolling and just couldn't stop. Once his lie went, he just kept lying and finally it caught up to him. But wow. No, this would be one where it's like, hey, we're going to work out the best deal we possibly can. There's no way you're going to beat this at trial. You faked going to school. They got the guy who went to school for you, so you could lie about it. You're not getting around that.
Yeah, when I was with the union, there were some, and I was a union rep, and then I got we actually hired a full time union rep, and I went and did my other duties, but. There were sometimes you work on exit strategies, which would be what the situation would entail. And sometimes you work on representing them and interviews and just trying to win the case. Right. But yeah, this one would definitely be all exit. At TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press, a Florida deputy, and I hate to make Florida keep looking bad, but, we just have so much, room for improvement sometimes. Florida deputy accused of armed sexual battery after responding to a theft call. Again, we're covering the good with the bad. No one hates bad cops worse than good cops. Deputy in Florida, and thank God he was at least a deputy, not a police officer. I was a police officer, but a deputy has been arrested and charged with armed sexual battery. Ouch. After allegedly assaulting a woman, he was dispatched to help. The victim intentionally called for assistance with a theft on June the 18th. Clay County Sheriff Michelle Cook announced on Friday that her office was notified of a serious allegations against this deputy. His name is Ryan Perrion, on June the 21st, and immediately launched an investigation. And she said through multiple interviews and further investigative efforts, detectives gathered the evidence needed to arrest Perry for armed sexual battery. And she confirmed that arrest took place. According to the Sheriff Cook, Perry followed the victim into her bedroom while the second deputy remained downstairs. When he's alone with the victim, he reportedly demanded that the victim expose her breasts to him, and then he inappropriately touched them against her will. And it said that the arrest report further alleges the victim provided a credible disclosure that Perry, that there was, he went a little further with some penetration stuff going on. And I want to be careful about what I say, but yeah, it's not good in favor of this guy. This guy's a piece of trash. Sheriff Cook expressed her outrage and disappointment, saying that she was, I can't even use the word, the first word, and devastated and let down. And we're here to protect and serve the community, not victimize them. And she praised the victim for her bravery in coming forward. And our cop, our bad cop, joined the agency in October 2018. Sheriff Cook is urging anyone with similar experience involving Ryan Perry to contact the Clay County Sheriff's Office. We hear you. We stand with you. We'll fight with you. We'll fight for you. She assured the community. So, wow, another one. Mark.
Yeah, that's it. Hopefully if people listen to the sheriff and if there is something, because this isn't his first time to do it, to be so brazen to do it while there's another partner in a different part of the house. This isn't something that he just all of a sudden chose to start doing at that point. It's sickening. It brings bad, it brings a bad image on law enforcement everywhere because of one person. This is what gets the highlights, not all the good stories. But this guy, if everything turns out to be 100% as it said it is, then hopefully he'll find the inside of a jail cell somewhere, because he did bring some shame on his department.
I totally agree. I agree. All right, guys. Well, look, we are winding down. And hey, Mark, thank you so much, Mark Curtis, for being on the show. Now, I literally usually take this opportunity, and I'm not just playing around this time, to talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And I actually support the Wounded Blue monthly, and I'm not worried about that organization embarrassing me. So if you want to sleep a little bit better at night, put your head on your pillow and know that you're really doing some good stuff and supporting some good causes, the Wounded Blue would be one of them. So I recommend, you know, checking them out. And Mark Curtis, he's got another. Mark, give that that domain name out, and I need to add that to my list of banners, but give that domain name out one more time so our people can check you guys out.
It's defenderoftheblue.com.
All right, I love it. So guys, and check them out as well. Hey, a shout out again to our sponsors. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring the show to you guys. Gauls at gauls.com, compliantechnologies.com, Gunlearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and also Two Bells. They built a new online store, and we'll make that Gauls giveaway, probably make that a 24-hour giveaway. We'll look for you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.